You ready?
Showtime.
On May 3rd, summer starts with the Fall Guy.
Let's do it later.
Let's drink a spicy margarita.
Make some bad decisions.
Yes!
Audiences are falling in love with the most entertaining film of the year.
Fall Guy.
Fall Guy?
Fall Guy.
That's what the poster said.
See Ryan Gosling and Emily Blunt in the movie critics say exists to make you happy.
Trying to make it out?
Nope.
Because I don't either. It's not what I'm into right now.
What are you into?
Talking.
Yeah.
The Fall Guy. Only in theaters May 3rd. Rated PG-13.
Get ready for the greatest roast of all time. The Roast of Tom Brady. A Netflix live event happening May 5th, hosted by Kevin Hart. The seven-time world champion gets his cleats held to the fire by famous friends and frenemies on an unforgettable night where everything is fair game. Tune in on May 5th at 5 p.m. Pacific time for The Roast of Tom Brady, live only on Netflix.
Hey there. Did you know Kroger always gives you savings and rewards on top of our lower-than-low prices? And when you download the Kroger app, you'll enjoy over $500 in savings every week with digital coupons. And don't forget fuel points to help you save up to $1 per gallon at the pump. Want to save even more? With a Boost membership, you'll get double fuel points and free delivery. So shop and save big at Kroger today. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Savings may vary by state. Restrictions apply. See site for details.
Oh, what's going on, everybody? Welcome to episode 215 of Flow Wrestling Radio Live. I'm your host, Christian Piles, joined as always and only by my mainest man, Willie Saylor. Oh. This is a little old school, a little throwback FRL.
Exclusivity.
Some would say the good old days. I don't know.
I don't know. I like having
them. I like them.
Like, because they'll get in with you, like they'll chime in with good nuggets, mm-hmm. but also they're easy pickings.
Yeah,
we can make fun of them at all times.
Boom, anytime. I mean, Nomad's just sitting there.
Anytime.
We should make fun.
Anytime things get a little bland, I just say, Nomad, why are you so white? Why are you so
pale,
glowy?
Yeah,
that's right.
The Incandescent Wrestling Nomad and Kyle Bradke are both in Fargo, which has been going on.
Nomad doing post match interviews. I love him.
Killing it.
And I love when AL Hayslip goes. And there was your winner with Daniel Lobdell.
Yeah, he doesn't like his government name out there, but he got to deal with it. This guy won't even make a Facebook profile with his own name. Mm-hmm. He uses
his name, man.
It's his granddad's name.
Oh, yeah, that's right.
He's a total weirdo.
He is a total weirdo.
But, so, Fargo's going on. We'll get to that. But lots of other things are happening as well. One, maybe at the top, I don't know what the biggest story is, but probably Eric Guerrero headed to Oklahoma, going to be the head coach of the Oklahoma RTC. And it's, you know, Guerrero has been at Oklahoma State like over 20 years.
Yeah. I mean,
he's been on staff since 2001.
I'm pretty sure, I could be wrong on this, but I wrestled in tournaments with Guerrero in like 94, 95. I think he graduated in 95 or 96. And he went to Oklahoma State. And unless I'm mistaken, I think he's been there since.
Yeah.
I don't think he's ever left.
Yeah, so it's kind of like he was just so established there. So it's crazy that, you know, he's not going to be wearing that blaze orange anymore and moving to Oklahoma, the rival of the place he coached and where he wrestled. He was a three-time NCAA champion, 2004 Olympian. You know, he was there during, you know, some on Oklahoma State's best teams. You know, he was there when they won five titles. He's there for, I think, three other championship seasons. So he's experienced that success as an assistant coach, and now going to try his hand shifting to freestyle.
And you'd have to think that he has some weight in the state as far as recruiting. You know, he has probably good relationships with coaches. He has a young kid that wrestles, and so he probably knows the club scene. So it could help Oklahoma with in-state recruiting. And Oklahoma hasn't been recruiting well in-state.
No, the University of Oklahoma has struggled with recruiting. I mean, we say it probably once every couple months in the show how it just blows our minds. The kids that go to Oklahoma State, knowing it's
they have to compete for a spot.
The path to starting is going to be really difficult. There's guys like Bulu Allen, you know, Tristan Moran, tough guys, and it's going to be tough for them to find.
Yeah, they'd rather. I mean, in the recent past, they'd rather go there and compete for a spot than go to Oklahoma, where it seems like they walk into a starting gig.
Yeah. And that's the power of John Smith and Oklahoma State's brand as well. It's not maybe not necessarily a total indictment of Oklahoma. And also I think that'll start changing with Coach Roselli a little bit. And now with Guerrero, even though he's from California, when you've been in a state for so long, you think you would have some pretty good inroads.
What's it mean for Oklahoma State? I think we can assume that. Can we assume that Chris Perry moves up from volunteer to paid?
That's kind of my guess. That's what I expect will happen. I mean, Chris, Zach Esposito, and maybe I don't know if Tyler Caldwell is still there or not. Maybe they promote him to volunteer. I'm not sure what decision they'll make, but I'd be surprised if Chris wasn't moved up and promoted. That just seems to make sense. And, you know, the question often is, you know, and many people thought, I did not think this, but others thought Guerrero will be the guy when John Smith steps down. That's never been my opinion, but that was
– yeah.
Wrestling fans
thought that he was the heir apparent.
Right.
Yeah. I don't think that was the case, but some people thought that. I know that there was probably there wasn't probably. There were people knocking on Chris Perry's door to go for jobs.
Where?
Where? What schools?
Yeah.
I'm not saying what schools.
Does that mean Nebraska?
No, not necessarily.
Kind of sounds like it means Nebraska.
There was multiple. So, you know, they probably want to keep him around. So I assume they're going to move him up, right?
You know, it's like with Chris, he's been there so long. I mean, he went to school at Oklahoma State. He's from, grew up in Stillwater. It would be pretty crazy to see him leave. Obviously, mm-hmm. his brother did, but his brother. I mean, that's been a story that's been played out and discussed.
His brother, Mark, beats to his own drum.
Yes.
Right.
Yes. No doubts there. So we'll see. I mean, and now, you know, we talk about Oklahoma. This is not necessarily Oklahoma University position. This is the RTC freestyle. And so it'll be a slight pivot for Guerrero. But no one, you know, the thing is, with Roselli there and what he was able to build with the Ohio RTC, you got to feel like Roselli has the framework to build a very successful RTC. And having someone like Coach Guerrero there, it's hard to not see success. And with the staff they have now, I think they're going to be super solid.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. So that's Oklahoma. And in other coaching news, you got any update on Cale?
No updates. The deal's still not signed. I was told this could be true, this could be not true, but that there was a, you know, the June 30th deadline came and gone. And I was told there was a 15-day extension. Well, that if that was true, then that 15-day extension has expired, and they probably just did another one, right?
They probably just are putting in extensions, especially to allow you to recruit.
So, you know, the one thing that I keep that keeps going in my mind as I think about this Cale Sanderson Penn State situation is, why would is Cale's being really smart here in that he knows Penn State needs him. I mean, it's just unquestionable what he's done for the school, for that team, and what would happen if he weren't there. But the one thing I don't think people are talking about, and so it looks like Cale has all this leverage and power. Penn State has major leverage and power in that they know Cale will never – he won't leave. He knows this is the absolute best situation he could ever be in. Penn State is the only place – I mean, he did it. He tried it at Iowa State. He couldn't do it. He knows the power of Penn State. He came there for a reason. Those reasons have been played out the last 7 years where they won six titles. So why, why would he?
Hold on.
Penn State has to view it that way.
You said he couldn't do it.
Okay, yeah.
He would have done it. He would have won a national title at Iowa State.
Okay, that is not a fact.
No, it's not a fact.
it certainly didn't happen.
I mean, he took second. He was like 5 minutes. Anyway, I believe that Cale would have done great things. I think he would have won a national title. Now, you're right, though. Penn State knows. You know what's funny?
He came in and immediately won a title. He came in, sat his guys. They won the next year. The first year, every year they're supposed to
win. He knows it's the best gig. That's why he went there initially, and then he did what he thought he could do. He knows it's the best gig, right? It's funny. I was driving. You know, I always say it all the time. I drive into work. I listen to sports radio. And a few months ago, when the Tom Herman from University of Houston had a good year, he took over for UT Longhorn football, right? Mm-hmm. And they said, they made a statement that's pretty true. You never have the bargaining power that you have. You never have more than when you first sign, right? Because when you first sign, like you're a shiny new, you're a red Corvette, right? Mm-hmm. That says, oh my God, we're gonna get Tom Herman, it's gonna be great. And so this guy comes in and he wants new locker rooms and he wants new this and he wants new that, and he gets it all.
Right.
Right? So even Cale Sanderson, who has just changed the landscape of wrestling, still might not have all the leverage.
Yeah, it's crazy. But it's like there's not many places. I mean, what else? It's crazy. I mean, Cale could do whatever he wanted in the sport, out of the sport, whatever. He'd probably be successful at it. But if you want to coach college wrestling, he won't leave. So now I feel like there is like, and for all I know, that it could be basically done and they've agreed. But that's just something that occurred to me this morning.
Yeah, well, you know, it's been strung out for a little while, so you think about all these things, and maybe we're wearing tinfoil hats. Yeah. But, you know, it's a plausible situation. But, you know, from Jump Street, it sounded like what Cale really wanted to do is take care of everything and everybody. And so it could be as simple as he's just taking his time and getting what he wants.
Yeah. Staying in Penn State, I should say, Soriano, you had Soriano update in here with a question mark.
Yeah, Soriano update. I don't know what's going on.
It's been super quiet. I don't think there's much happening on either side. I don't know why I think this, but it's just my gut. The longer this goes without a proclamation that Nick's going to Rutgers or wherever, the more I think he's staying at Penn State. The longer this goes, it's prolonged. Maybe that's wrong. Maybe it's the opposite. But for me, I'm like,
it makes my head spin. I don't know, right? I don't. At one point, I thought the longer this goes, the more likely it is he's leaving.
Really?
Because Penn State, I don't think, could be happy with this being drug out.
That's a fair point.
Number one. Number two, It like, if you read the tea leaves, he may be working on trying to get a clean release and get eligibility, and he's trying to figure that out. I don't know, right?
That would be interesting if that's the angle. If they're just
now, there was Instagram posts yesterday, and nothing really.
You a big Instagram guy?
No, I don't even have Instagram. I saw it on a message board. Nick did a camp clinic in Jersey for a high school or a youth group, So
yeah, he's been in Jersey basically the whole summer. Mm-hmm. Not been at Penn State's camps, which is, you know, where most of the guys are in the summer. So he's doing his own thing, and that's you mentioned. You know, what's Penn State think about him just being gone like that? And yeah, you maybe there's something to that where Penn State will be like, let's reach a decision here and move on either way. But in that they expose themselves to the risk of not winning a title next year.
There's a lot of conversation too. And again, there's a lot of unclarity, but what do you make of the situation? 25 or 33? Is Soriano 33 now?
When I watch him, I think that's a good, that's a nice 25 pounder. I mean, he
that's
was
what I think.
He was he in my opinion, he was smaller than Gilman. I thought noticeably smaller than Thomas Gilman. I thought he was perfectly fine, but you just that can be deceptive. Or maybe it's just a matter of he doesn't want to cut weight, period. He thinks he can win 33. He might not be wrong there. He could maybe win 133. I think it would be tougher. You think of guys like Seth Gross and Cade Brock, they're going to have some real size on him. But
size, and they present different stuff.
Right? They're really
like just
different.
Funky. And
yeah, Cade's got a thousand different takes. I mean, there's other guys I'm missing, too. If I think Nato's coming down to 25. In fact, I'm 99% sure he's going to. So you kind of throw him out of the mix. But I think Soriano would have success at both, but I believe they want to be at 133.
They meaning Nick, Soriano.
Yeah, Soriano.
And what do you make about like if you're Kale, is there a butting of heads there because Soriano wants to go 33 and Penn State doesn't want him to?
That doesn't make sense.
That doesn't make sense.
Kale should be like, okay.
There's rumors, not rumors, but there's speculation, right? This Soriano discontent thing hits, and very normally, I think, people say, well, what about this? Well, what about that? Well, what about this? And they say, well, is it a thing where he wants to go 33 and Kale doesn't want him? Kale has, like, allowed his guys to wrestle. There's never been a time that I heard that Kale was like, no, you're going this way, right? I mean, guys move up in Kale's lineup as much as anybody, right? I mean, what I was told was that Kale didn't particularly want Bo to move up, right, when Bo moved up, but all's well.
Yeah, it's okay. I'm sure. Yeah, every coach has preferences. You know what? If Zane goes up to 165 because he can, it would not be good for the team, but he would beat everyone.
Well, that's what I mean. I mean, when people say, "Well, he wants to go 25 and Cal won't let him, or 33 and Cal won't let him," I don't buy that for one.
No,
second.
I don't either. I don't think many major programs do that. I don't think Iowa does that. It says you need to go here or here. The whole Clark Gilman thing, that worked itself out. Clark went up to 33. I think, I don't know. I don't think that's it. Why would you? The guy is a potential finalist champion at either weight. Where you don't have that at 33. It's not not with Keener, in my opinion. Not with Cortez. Even Ray Higuchi.
Ray Higuchi. Soriano.
I think Higuchi's round of 12 right now.
Greater than sign. Soriano greater than Higuchi. Greater than the Gooch.
So, something else.
Uh-oh, there's something else.
Yeah. I haven't even told you this.
Oh, my
but
God.
Apparently, there's some discontent.
With the Gooch?
No. Soriano. Something was said at the NCAA press conference by Kale that upset the Sorianos. Okay? Crazy. So I don't know what it was. I went back and listened to it after I heard this from someone.
You went back and listened to the press conference.
I was like, the thing was.
You do your job well.
Nick was the focal point of the press conference in the beginning.
I didn't go this year. I didn't even listen to it.
It's always awkward, a little awkward. The coaches hate it.
Yeah, I know.
You can tell.
That's why I don't go. That's why I don't listen.
You can tell Kale doesn't like it. Coach Smith, I mean, probably rather not. Coach Brands.
Coach Brands will give you some gold.
But he's great. And one time he called J-Rob old. That was hilarious. Do you remember that?
Yes.
2014.
It was St. Louis, right?
Yeah. We stayed in Dagon Ferguson. We were so far away in the media hotel. But anyways, no one's like particularly happy to be there. But that's what I was told. That there was something said at that press conference that really irked them. So go back and listen. See if you can glean. There's a lot of discussion about Nick during that time. What would make him upset? I don't know. It would probably require more knowledge of the relationship, the situation, and how it played out with Soriano's injury and how it was handled. But that's what I was told.
Well, Bob Soriano is a particular kind of cat. Like, I just, sometimes, I just want to make sure I'm not offending the man. He's a good dude, but I was like, man, I hope I don't say anything stupid or wrong or anything that could be misconstrued as disrespectful. So I'm not trying to be disrespectful.
No, great guy, great family. But, yeah, an interesting, very interesting situation that, like the KL contract situation, continues to play itself out into the summer, which is great for us. Gives us some interesting talking points. We didn't have this a year ago.
Yeah. And
it hurts you as
apologies for all the, you know, sometimes message board people get on us for, well, you're not doing your job. This is all speculation. And yeah, this has been a lot of speculation. And
not a lot of what I said was.
Yes, it was. It's a lot of speculation. Like, I mean, we're sitting here talking for a couple episodes, like, is he discontent because of this? Is it because of weight? Is it because Frankie Edgar, he wants a train thing? Can he get a full release? Here's the thing. Don't for 1 second think we're not digging. They're just not talking, guys. Like, they're saying, oh, Flo, just, they just talk. Why don't you do your job and report and find sources? They're not talking.
Yeah. Okay. Moving on. Where to? We're going to go new college rules? College rule paper? Huh?
Rock, paper, scissor? College rules paper? What'd you say?
Never mind.
Hey. I didn't even dig into those college rules. I mean, I know they were out, and the only one I said, we're talking before the show, and Christian's like, I was like, hey, Christian, you got to tell me about the scrambling stuff because I didn't read the full thing. I read a little bit of it, and I was like, I don't know how this is going to manifest itself. And Christian's like, we'll just talk about it on the show. And I said, the only thing that I read, so the only thing I read was the only thing that Christian didn't see, right? And that is high school wrestlers can now wrestle college opens again.
Why is that? That's so weird that that's in there. But it wasn't in, like, that NCAA release. It was somewhere else.
It's on a PDF of the rules, item, like, 3.22.4.
Dash A.
So,
but yeah, that will be interesting. Because these kids love competition, testing themselves. You know, are we
East Stroudsburg Open used to be filled with them. I mean,
yeah, I wasn't thinking so much East Stroudsburg as like the Midlands? Scuffle in Midlands. Was kind of what I was thinking.
The Scuffle,
yeah, definitely East Stroudsburg. East Stroudsburg Scuffle.
There's never been a high school kid that's Scuffle, Midlands. Right?
Yeah, but there could be now. Maybe
it's an open. They wouldn't allow Mark Hall to wrestle there.
That's Midlands. Yeah, it's Midlands.
Somebody would not allow
Midlands. Did not
right. Yes, up. Yes. But the Scuffle did not allow a partial. One time.
A partial? What does a partial mean?
One human being from one school.
Well, yeah, they reserve that right. They can just say who can be in who.
I know. All I'm saying is I don't think there's ever been a high school kid at the Scuffle.
Yeah. Maybe they don't want him. But.
Yeah, so
imagine
I mean,
Cable Stevenson entered Midlands.
I think I saw. Yeah, that would be cool. I think I saw James Green wrestle Dylan Alton at the East Stroudsburg Open. I think both of them were high schoolers. I know James was for sure. I don't know. I used to see a lot of. That's right in my backyard, so I used to go. And then it started the one year. I think that's why they put a stop to it that year. The one year East Stroudsburg Open had. Half the field was high school kids.
Because all PA's like, let's go.
Yeah.
Just pay the entry fee and wrestle.
Yeah.
Yeah, it is. Well, you know, I think it's on the tournaments themselves, the leaders of the tournaments, to show discretion on who they let in. Right? Like maybe, and there should be a standard. But I remember the last high school guy I remember wrestling at Midlands was Welch. There may have been one after that. But he placed at Midlands as a junior or senior.
Yeah, I think that's right.
He did really well. It was really pretty impressive. And that was like 7 or 8. It was a long time ago. But yeah, I kind of think it'll be cool. You know, you always hear about how, you know, Kerry Colette at Midlands. I think about this crop of guys. I would have loved to have seen, I feel like the last crop, like the Daytons, the Spencer Lees, I would love to have seen them as high schoolers wrestling. I'm not as intrigued by some of these guys. I don't. Maybe a Michael Beard I'd be excited to see, but I feel like I haven't.
Gable's a one.
Gable. Yeah, Gable. How does he? You know, I.
Yeah, Spencer we would like to see. Spencer. Dayton.
Oh, yeah.
Suriano.
Mark would have loved to see him. Prior. Yeah. Okay.
So, other. How about the other rules,
though? So, the main rule, the one that, you know, a couple months ago, we talked and talked about the scramble rules. You know, Dean Heil, everyone freaking out about every Dean Heil match he wrestled. You know, the Gulabon Heil match especially, where Heil was on his back, but he had the ankle laying there passing legs. So the new rule now, let's say that happens. Jimmy Gulabon takes a shot, okay? Heil dives over. He's on his back. He's got the ankle. He's on his back. As soon as he's on his back, the ref will say danger, okay, or danger zone or something like that. Kenny Loggins will probably.
Highway to the danger.
Kenny Loggins will be involved. Anyways, once they get through the verse, or maybe it's the chorus of that song, they'll count to three, okay? Once they count to three, they're going to award two, okay? And obviously, if they're still on their back after the two, they'll start getting near falls. Well, not necessarily, because it says 90 degrees.
Yeah, so that's how I read it.
Because 90 is like the freestyle.
Okay. Anything less than 90, they say, right?
Right. So like, but 45
is... That's how I read it, too. And then, I don't know, I saw something that was like, somebody made a comment, new college rules are going to make great scramblers even more dangerous. And I think...
Because great scramblers don't lay on their back for an extended period of time. They pass the leg quickly and are up and out. Or they're doing, you know... High level far ankle stuff. They're not. Because
why does that make them more dangerous than?
Because also think about someone like Ben Askren. Think about Ben Askren, Jake Herbert. When Ben caught Jake on his back in a scramble with his foot on top of him and just held him there, a great scrambler will be able to capitalize on guys who aren't as good and hold them on their backs. So between that, I think it's a great rule. I think it's a necessary rule. Now, scrambling is going to be a means to score
and not a means to stalemate.
And that was what scrambling had become.
Yeah.
The ability to go from dead to rights to on your back, but you have an ankle, so it's all good.
Yeah.
Now that's gone. And that was the thing. Dr. Brian Snyder, he sat on the show and basically described that this rule should be.
Who are the best? Okay, who are the best leg passers? Who are the best scramblers that you'd see like not get caught on their back, like consistently? I felt like Jesse was right.
Oh, okay, we're going back. Yeah,
but anyway,
yeah, Delgado for sure.
You know who's really good at leg passes? Who like does it like in one motion? Like Jesse,
Zeke Moisey.
Zeke Moisey, yeah. Really good at it.
Very yeah. Great leg passer. I'm not sure who the best are right now. Heil's a good scrambler, but he does kind of put himself in situations. Nickel and Nolf are really good there. I don't know. I'd have to go and like look at rankings, and it would jog my mind. But yeah, I'm excited for those rules. They have to wear headgear still, Willie.
They have to wear headgear. Still care facial about hair half an inch. Half an inch facial hair. You can't be walking around with a Mike Zadik beard.
No.
You have to be able to see for skin check.
Huh.
So, I'll tell you what. I was
half an. They're going to measure half an inch each hair?
I was, yeah, right. They got a roller. I was hoping that it was optional. Headgear was optional, but it's not. But I'll tell you, when they said they were going to make it optional, I like. For a second, they got me because I was like, yes, cool. That's great. And then I thought, I was like, there is no way on God's green earth they let this pass.
With no headgear?
No headgear. They will never do that.
Yeah, because even though, like, you know, it's, like, not even necessarily true that it prevents, like, head injury at all. Like, it's still, anytime you take away something that's perceived as a safety item or safety equipment, it's like, you don't want to do that. You open yourself up for whatever.
I sent Kai an image. Let's see if he can put it up when he can. We'll talk about it when he puts it up. But it's a pretty cool thing.
Kai's making a face. I don't think he can do it.
Okay, maybe he can't. But you said Dean Heil. My brain went to this. Dean. There was a post. This Tulsa 80 pounds. Dean Heil first. Anthony Valencia second. Joey McKenna third. Zach Hall fourth. Isaiah Martinez fifth. Bo Nickel sixth. That was a bracket.
That's a bracket.
All right.
Good
is there
leg passer, Darian Cruz, for sure. Very good.
Is there anybody else? Is there any other
rules takeaways?
Rules.
O'Doyle.
O'Doyle rules. I don't think I saw any.
I mean, there's the third party video review. Another thing, I believe Dr. Brian Snyder.
Third party? There's gonna be three parties.
Three parties.
At each match.
Well, really, not necessarily.
What is that? Referee?
You could just do it just like in freestyle does it, where it goes to the
jury.
Goes to Rick Tucci. And he nails it every time.
Speaking of nailing people, the flag is now a brick.
Yep, no more flags.
I like the bricks. You can nail.
Oh, people. They're going to be nailing the rest with the bricks. I saw Damian Hahn. Was it Damian? Yeah, he nailed someone right in the middle of their back. From half a mat away. And I'm telling you what, those things are foam. It's tough to get the proper trajectory velocity there to nail
them. Impressed with his Damien's throwing?
Yeah, not surprising that Damian Hahn would be good at throwing something, but I was still impressed.
I like when
when
wrestlers get like ticked off, like a coach will throw the brick and like sometimes the opposing wrestler will like kick it. It's like I love that.
Sometimes David Taylor kicks.
Speaking of extracurricular type stuff on the mat, Braxton Amos yesterday did the Dikembe.
It was hilarious.
It was great, but then he apologized, and then of course there's gonna be boohoo or T.R. Foley right now is saying
he's not.
T.R. Foley.
Why
just,
don't you have him muted? I've had him muted. It's been amazing. Yeah, I don't want to know. I'm trying to avoid his horrible takes. Don't bring his takes on this show.
Oh, I mean, it's typical, right?
Yeah. Why? Shouldn't?
Well,
the guy is trolling all of us.
It's not just one person, though. I mean, okay. Back to the thing. Let the kids have a little emotion. Hey, I heard that. Speaking of, I heard they're changing the NFL touchdown rules, like you can celebrate and stuff. A little bit. But, it goes to that. So what? You celebrate. It's emotional, right? You're asking guys to, like, get their testosterone level up and be in the ultimate combat sport and then not show emotion.
Yeah, I don't think it was a big deal. And Braxton apologized. I didn't think he should have apologized. Like, you didn't do anything wrong, dude. It's like saying the disrespect is like, it's like a social media meme. That's all it was. But no, great. How is he so huge now? What happened?
What do you mean?
He was a 70.
No. No. He
won an 82 last year?
A 95 or 220.
Not 95. All right. I'll look it up.
You look it up.
Are those not on Flow Arena?
No, they are not.
Okay.
They're on the site we will refuse to mention.
It'll be really easy to find it.
So obviously Fargo's going on, and it's really what I think something that gets lost at Fargo is, there's obviously great competition, and then you you get the finals matchups, and you're like, great match. Oh man, these finals are great, but there's so many little things starting before the quarters even happen. It's like if you're there, you're like, oh my God, that was great. Oh my God, that was amazing. Wow, that was what a match. And like when you're there, your head's on a swivel. I don't know. It's really tough to keep up with all the great matches. Just a tremendous tournament. I guess what I'm getting at is it's one of the real, like, it's entertainment.
195. My brain sucks.
Yeah, he's a big kid.
Enormous.
So, yeah, Braxton Amos,
Any chance he's not a heavyweight in college?
I don't think so.
He's a heavyweight, right?
Yeah.
Who's more likely to go 97, Kirk Fleet or Amos?
I don't think either of them can go 97.
Yeah, I don't either.
I mean, Braxton hasn't taken a class as a sophomore yet, you know? So he's going to continue to grow. But it's really great to see some of the emerging talent. We won't go all through. I mean, Zeke Escalera, Ryan Sokol, Josh Saunders, who everybody knows about. Yeah. But when you – one of the great things, obviously, about cadets is their emerging talent. You're going to see them for the first time. They're going to win a Fargo title, and you didn't know their name yesterday. Today you know their name, and you're going to keep hearing about them for 10 years. So it's a coming out party for them, and it's they plant their flag. I'm one of the best in the country. I'm going to be in the rankings for a long time. And then we get to Alex Facundo. Alex Facundo is amazing too. So many, but now we're in the junior division, and I don't think. You got to watch a lot of the cadets, but you did watch a bunch of juniors, right?
I watched the junior semis. Great round of wrestling. I mean, and then it rolls straight into the WrestleBacks afterwards, and Brayton Lee, Sammy Sasso are immediately wrestling.
Yeah.
I mean.
That's a tough thing, right? You're like, sort of your dreams are broken, right? You go there, I'm winning Fargo.
It's like, you think it's bad when you, like, lose in the NCAA quarters, and then you're in the round of 12. At least you have, like, an entire evening to process it. They're literally like 45 minutes later. Yeah,
go through the grieving process. I'm up. Like, oh my God, I wanted to win NCAAs. All right. You have a day to say, I'm going to wrestle back strong. This, I mean, Sammy, right? You're up 9-4. You blow a lead, you lose. Or you're up 10-4. Blow a lead, 10-10. Okay, you can wrestle Brayton Lee now.
What?
Like in 10 minutes.
What?
It's tough to read on.
Yeah, it's not easy.
And I'm not taking anything away from Brayton Lee. Brayton Lee. I mean, all things considered. Yeah, I mean, Brayton Lee had to come back too. Same situation.
Yeah, right? Exactly.
But all things considered, I think that's a great match toss up. Right. I'm not saying that's why Brayton won. I'm saying it's a tough thing to do for anybody that loses in the semis.
Yeah, very difficult. But think difference being Lee lost earlier.
He lost to
Gefeller. This weight is crazy.
That was the best weight. 45
How about Lloyd teching Hardy?
Dude, that surprised
me. Yeah, Lloyd's good, but 10-0?
Yeah.
In 58 seconds?
Lloyd is really good. You know, for – sounds stupid, but for about a minute and a half, Lloyd was beating – Lugo.
Oh yeah,
I mean Lloyd's good.
Is he committed?
And South Dakota State.
South Dakota get State get jacked, and they got
South Dakota State got some good ones.
Peyton Robb. I like him too. Dang, Bono, chill.
They need to get that Huttmacher kid.
Oh, that guy, double leg factory.
Double legs, everybody.
Just foreign. He's like, you can form me. That way I can do more fours in this wrestling match.
Yeah.
That was his mentality.
Nash Huttmacher.
He's like, if I get scored
on. You guys probably haven't heard of Nash Huttmacher, but heavyweight, South Dakota.
Yeah. Cadet-aged heavyweights from South Dakota. I just miss them sometimes.
Yeah.
No, how legit is he?
He's too legit to quit.
Really?
No, I mean, I had him ranked. I had him ranked like 9th or 10th or something. Let me see what I got him ranked.
So he's ranked.
But, I mean, here's the problem is that all, you know, there's so much attrition. Everybody graduates. Then a guy like Huttmacher goes to cadet or junior duels or cadet duels and does some work, and he gets ranked, but most people don't know about him.
Right.
Right? So then he goes out to Fargo and puts on a show. He's ranked 12th.
12th.
Just a sophomore. Going into his sophomore year.
I think he's... We need Nomad. Nomad did stand next to him. But I think
he know Matt's the next step, so he knows how much
he can confirm that he's a heavyweight.
Okay.
But I had strong suspicions prior that he was probably a heavyweight, like for D1, but now I'm positive. Yeah, Bono, you better lock him up, man. Everyone saw him.
Seen him. Who else?
Cassiope looked
good. You like them. I just want to talk about kids that Christian saw that he liked. He likes Braxton Amos.
Are we talking cadets or juniors?
Anybody.
Well,
who else?
Ever since Super 32, Brayton Lee has been one of my favorite guys, and I think someone that projects as an elite D1 prospect. I think he has all the skills necessary on top of real physical gifts and talent that I believe he's going to be an excellent D1 wrestler.
He's a 49. Banger in the room, too, they say.
Really, goes hard. He's very athletic. He can get the legs. He's got a lot of ways to score. Brayton Lee, sky-high ceiling for him.
How about Artilona is on a 20-match Fargo freestyle winning streak. Anthony Artilona has won 20 straight matches in Fargo freestyle.
That's a lot.
20 straight.
Junior level, too, right? He was junior last year when he won.
Yeah, but the first year he won it was cadet.
So he's won two, now going for three straight. So he's good at freestyle. What national folkstyle tournaments have we seen him at? Did he go Super 36?
He took sixth at Ironman. Yeah, I mean, look, I'm not taking anything. I'm not saying that there's anything wrong. I'm not saying he's bad at folkstyle.
Okay, jazz hands.
But sometimes we label guys Greco specialists. Sometimes there are guys that are just flat out better in freestyle than they are at folk.
It's true. Who are some examples? Help me, because there are definitely some. Yeah, someone that comes to mind for me, you will laugh, but this wasn't a high school one, but Chad Hankey was amazing at freestyle. Dude, why are you laughing? You just don't remember, so you laugh.
It's not that I don't remember.
Chad Hankey.
It's not that I don't remember. It's that Chad is the last human being I expected to come out of your mouth.
Chad Hankey.
Chad Hankey the WWE?
No.
Who's Gable? Something Gable.
Chad. That's Chaz Betts.
Chaz Betts.
Okay. Chad Hankey
was a large human.
Was at Oregon State. His years were just okay at the D1 level. He made the challenge tournament finals or like the actual finals of the world team.
James Green.
No.
James
Green is a four-time. No, this is not the same. No. So James Green was amazing. James was the number one seed. He just didn't win at NCAAs. He was good enough to win a title.
Yes, he was good enough to win a title. But he never did, but he medaled at Worlds.
Okay. So it was Thomas Gilman.
All right, so
Gilman
let's talk about some other ones.
All right.
Thomas Gilman's better at freestyle.
Yeah,
yes.
But he's not a freestyle specialist like these. Right. You're not. You're right. Messing it up. That's Green.
I'm not messing it
Gilman
up.
Gilman are not
There's
examples
a difference
of
between
the point you're trying to make.
Specialists.
There are guys that are straight up average
better.
At folk style.
Yeah.
Those are the guys I'm talking about. I'm not talking about great folk style wrestlers who had marginally, slightly better success at freestyle. I'm talking about guys that were not
okay.
Great.
Other than Chad Hankey, do you have any examples?
No, I could come up with
some. You got Chad Hankey.
Chad Hankey came off the top of my head. I'm not sure of some other ones, but they're out there. The truth is out there, but I don't have it right now. I would have to do some more research. There are guys in my mind that I just can't find them right now. So you just got to believe. Believe me. I'll try to do some. Hey, we got problems. I don't know what we're going to do Thursday.
Why? Where you go? Do you have to go to what do you have to go to?
I don't
have. Voice? Are you going to No. Are you going to 98 Degrees concert?
That was good.
I mean, I don't know if people get it. Christian oversees Flo Voice, which is.
Voce.
He's in the a cappella group with Andy Bernard. The Nard Dog.
No.
What is it called? What is your group called?
Oh, Here Comes Treble?
Here Comes Treble.
No. I'm not going to any sort of a boy band concert. Anything vocal related. Although, actually, it ties into The Voice because my wife, a very good choral conductor, has a conference. So it's just me and the kids. I don't know anyone.
Let's have the kids on.
They're pretty well behaved, but
let's have the kids on.
All right, here's the thing. Natalie.
Natalie
is the one.
Natalie will be the entertainment.
I don't want to do some sideshow, have my kids sitting on the couch.
Why don't you just have the kids sit on the couch?
Because what are they going to do?
Well, I mean, maybe we can say, you know, hey, since the weights changed, before the weights changed, who had the most success at 118? Natalie, do you recall? We could go right to Natalie.
We could. Teague Moore. Was he 118?
Yes.
Okay. Yeah, we could do that. I'm just a little nervous. So.
One time Natalie snorted gravel.
Oh, she didn't snort it.
She had it in her nose.
Okay. It doesn't mean she snorted it. She didn't do a line of gravel. She's just...
she had gravel in her sinuses.
She doesn't do that anymore. She hasn't done that in a really long time. She loves...
I didn't say she did. I didn't say she was a chronic gravel snorter. I said she did it once.
Yeah. Yeah. Okay. Now that's chronicled on there. No, I don't want them... I don't know what you'll say on this show. You might drop a bomb on them.
My kids swearing?
Yes.
Or like a swear bomb, or like off the cuff saying that Santa doesn't exist?
I'm not worried about that. Well,
he would... You're less concerned about Canada?
Caleb's already figured it out. He's asking all the questions. I know he's figured out it's BS. He already knows.
He should at that age. He's a smart cookie.
Yeah, so I don't know. I
mean, he also can point out Benghazi on a map. I think he can figure out Santa's not real.
Yeah, I don't know. So I don't know what we're going to do. I don't know if we're going to be able to have a show on Thursday because Katie's gone. I don't know anymore.
Me and Christian got in a fight last night. About rankings.
Well, you love Sammy Sasso.
No,
so much.
He turned the knife. That's what the thing is. You turn the knife. It's one thing if you go, hey, that ranking's messed up. It's another thing if you turn the knife and say, well, because he's from District 11, that's why you have him.
You once ranked Mitch Minotti behind Bo Jordan.
I corrected that 2 days later.
Okay.
So, I mean, are you saying that Sammy... And the reason I bring this up, I'm not bringing it up because the argument... I'm bringing it up because I'm getting to Joe Lee, David Carr.
Yes.
It was a great match. But Sammy was ranked right. I gave Sammy a mulligan for a thing.
I think he got a...
Were you upset about his pound-for-pound or his number one at 145?
The pound-for-pound, if you look on the pound-for-pound list, I don't think you see guys with... You shouldn't... If you're pound-for-pound, you don't lose... I don't care the circumstance. I don't care if you're up 9-0 and you step over on a guy.
Can you still keep talking?
Are there guys?
Keep talking, because
are there guys on the pound for pound that very recently have Google losses?
Google's different.
That's what I'm talking. I'm not talking about lose to a ranked guy, quasi ranked guy, a relative.
Okay, I'll tell you right now. You're gonna say, Sammy Sasso is working this kid. And get cement mixed, right? Now, don't say that I'm favoritism to Sammy Sasso because he's from District 11. Don't say that I gave Sammy Sasso a mulligan because he's from my hometown. Logan Storley was working Preston Lehman. Mm-hmm. And Preston Lehman hit him in a mixer.
Okay.
I'm not penalizing. And Preston Lehman was better than Anthony Ulisek. I'm not penalizing Logan Storley for that.
Well, you don't penalize Storley as much because Lehman was at least quasi-legit, not... Preston Lehman
That's
was...
even worse. I mean,
It is worse to get pinned by a worse wrestler than it is a better...
It's not totally flukish?
No, you cannot... Listen, you cannot take... You cannot factor in how people win or lose into the equation. Because one...
I did then.
Because one, you have no idea how... All these other guys are winning or losing their matches.
Ulisek, by the way, Ulisek's not a bum.
All right.
Ulisek has really good wins.
Is he ranked?
Yeah.
What's he ranked? Listen, there's not guys on this 13th. There's not guys in my opinion, who has lost a loss like that on their pound for pound resume? Does Joey Silva have a random
loss
like that?
No. Okay. Fair point. It's a fair point. But also, you guys, you advocated for Dayton Fix, number one, for a long time. And eventually I did make that move because it was the right call.
I value wins.
Okay, that's you just said you need to be punished for losses.
That too. Bad losses and elite wins.
Okay,
that's
so
where I'm at.
Who should have been on there?
I don't know.
Who should be ahead of?
I'm not saying, maybe he shouldn't
you
be
know,
pound
you,
for pound.
I'll go back.
I'm not saying he shouldn't be pound for pound.
Yeah, I go back to okay, other than Sasso, does Teamer have any?
Okay, I
The problem is, I'll tell you right now, that whole chunk, none of them have great wins.
Okay, and I understand that in high school, they could wrestle a national schedule like Hiley does and a lot of these guys do, Silva, Sasso, and not have faced the rigor. It's different from D1. But with that, your roots aren't as deep. And if you lose to a rando, you get hit more.
Tell him what a rando is.
It's a random guy. So you just lose to, you know.
All right. Well, listen.
You just lose to a dude.
I know, but that's okay. So.
So you don't. So basically, what you're saying, you don't.
You had the same. You had the opposite argument for Marinelli. You hated I had Marinelli that high.
No. I hated that you had him ahead of Dayton. That was so silly. The guy hadn't wrestled a relevant
okay,
match.
Okay, now I'm doing it. I'm sort of doing it the different way, and you have a problem with that too.
Are you comparing Sammy Sasso's wins to Dayton Fix?
No, I'm comparing.
Dayton
and Alex Marinelli
had better wins than Sasso, maybe in his entire career.
I'm comparing Alex Marinelli to.
Alex Marinelli didn't have a loss like Sasso did. Who was his loss? He lost to Fox Baldwin.
I'm not comparing Marinelli to Sasso.
All right, so, who are you comparing?
Let's say. A Michael Beard.
Okay, a Michael Beard hasn't lost. There's no
hasn't
okay.
Lost. There's, yeah, I mean his loss. Okay, a Marinelli. Marinelli only lost to an elite guy, like ridiculous elite.
Foxball was not ridiculous elite one
at the time.
He was not ridiculous elite. He had losses. He wasn't like. He was a good, a highly ranked wrestler.
Okay,
top five guy.
Riddle me this. Who's the best kid that?
Here's my point. You're saying you were mad that Alex Marinelli was high, but he didn't have good wins. But you don't say anything about Michael Beard being high, but he doesn't have good wins. It's not about how high they are based on. It's who's around them. Okay, Michael Beard is ahead of Ja'Cory Teamer and Sammy Sasso. Okay, I can get with that. He's not ahead of Dayton Fix, which is basically what happened. Because that's my entire point. Well,
you
no
can
Dayton
say random. You can. I mean, we're still talking about this 3 years later. Dayton had lost to Luke Karam.
That's not a random. That guy was top three or four. That's equivalent to probably the Baldwin loss.
No. Baldwin was better in high school than Luke Karam. I mean, not even close.
I don't know.
I do.
We can go back and look it up. What they were ranked at the time at better weight. I mean... He was at 26. Amazing weight nationally.
Fox Baldwin was, yeah. Okay. So me and Chris got in a fight. And then we got in a fight again today.
But do you understand my point? It's different with Beard because there's no one behind him with wins over, you know, the guys.
Well, no, none of
I could
of them.
Read the Dayton Fix list again if I needed to.
Well, I mean, Teamer, Sasso, Silva. I mean... Sasso
Teamer at least has the Sasso wins.
Sasso, look, Sasso worked, or Sasso beat Ryder, who beat Brayton Lee.
Yeah, and things have changed.
Things changed yesterday.
Well, with David Carr, I don't think they did. I think David Carr has a case for pound for pound.
Now, not yesterday.
But
David Carr lost to Jaden Maddox. Joe Lee. Okay, let me leave Joe Lee for last. He lost to Jaden Maddox, Julian Ramirez,
Hovis.
Quentin Hovis, and Joe Lee, who took sixth at Super 32.
I don't know
with
why.
Losses to Justin Ruffin.
You can't listen. Joe Lee is Joe Lee. You can't say Joe Lee, who is sixth at 32. Therefore, David Carr sixth at Super 32.
Okay, I just named four pound for pound losses. Four losses to kids that were not pound for pound.
Well, you could argue. I mean, Joe Lee. I mean, you cannot have Joe Lee in the pound for pound, but there's not many people that don't think he's one of the best 14 wrestlers in the country right now. Additionally, when you look at Carr's wins at juniors, they're amazing. Beats Verclearen.
Mm-hmm.
He beats
Verclearen. I don't know if Verclearen was ever pound for pound. Maybe at the tail end.
Okay. He beat Storr, and he had one other really good win. I'll have to go back and look it up.
I'm just saying, I mean,
that to me was like, that was like a pound for pound.
That's also at 45.
What does it matter what the weight?
I'll tell you what it matters. It matters when you lost to a Joe Lee who took sixth at Super 32.
We're talking about October?
Yeah, we're talking about October.
Oh, my goodness.
No, we're not talking about October. Oh, okay. Joe Lee beat David in May. Yeah. I think it was he teched him.
He did not tech him. But that loss has since been avenged. He's avenged almost all his
losses yesterday.
Yeah, I know that. I know that. But I still think his wins were, I mean, better than Sammy's coming.
He has great wins. He has great wins.
I like wins.
He also has a lot of losses.
Yeah. A while ago, except for the Lee one. I can't find that other win.
This last season.
Okay. Well, I don't know what we're doing Thursday, dude.
Well, you better figure it out. Maybe we don't have a show. I don't know.
Maybe we don't have a show. I don't know. Let us know. Should my children sit on that couch? Should we roll the dice? They're typically
technological advances, Kai does not have to put them on the show.
Yeah, but they'll... what are the chances they'll be? Are they going to understand?
$100, Natalie comes over here with like a peach doll figurine, or like figurines from The Little Mermaid or something like that.
We can roll the dice.
I would prefer to roll the dice. I enjoy chaos. I promise you they trip on this. Caleb 100% trips on one of these cords.
Caleb is, he has a very large head.
Huge.
And
head.
I think it makes him
top heavy
and he falls very easily. When he plays sports, when he's out running, he just runs as hard as he can and so many times he
has
full speed wiped out, but he's just used to it. He knows how to fall very strategically. So maybe we'll have him on.
Hey,
we got to talk. Joey Silver to Michigan. Mm-hmm. Huge recruit. Great get for them. Team USA went 7-for-7 at the Spanish Grand Prix. We did not have Jaden there at 86, but we won all the other weights, which is pretty good. Beyond that, any takeaways?
I can't wait till 2:00.
Yeah. Is it 2?
I think it's 2.
It's 2. It's 2:00. You're right. So 2:00, Fargo Finals. I'm just going to read them real quick.
Read them.
Sometimes I just read to people on radio shows. 100, Jackson Cockrell versus Will Guida. 106, Chris Trelli versus Sam Latona. 113, Brandon Kaler versus Ty Smith. Now here's where it starts really heating up. 120, Joy Melendez, Patrick McKee. 26, Paul Conrath, Drew Matten. 32, Adelano Escobar versus Alexander
Cruz. That's a 9-10 matchup. People don't realize that.
People forget.
9 versus 10 in the country.
38, Ben Freeman versus Jeremy Schoner.
Ranked, Wisconsin.
Anthony Ardalona, Caden Gefeller. I would say Gefeller probably better at freestyle than folk. I would not call him a freestyle specialist, however.
Hey, that's another thing. Tip of the cap to you, Caden, for outgoing senior going to Fargo. Needs to be more of those.
Didn't get it done last year because he hurt his hip, had to default out. Could have won last year. I, too, am excited that he's back.
They all should go. They should all go. Jacob Warner, another one.
Will Luan, Jared Franek, good one. Tyler Dow, we haven't talked about this match. Tyler Dow was literally teched by Jake Allar, okay? They throw the brick after it's 15-5 or something like that, and they switch it up, And it becomes like 9-4 he's losing, but he has life. He hits a couple throws and wins like by a point against Jake Allar, who is excellent. That was a mind-blowing.
There's so many things like that at Fargo. Like, you could, if you just wrote them all down. It's like, it was 2007. Here's a situation. And then this crazy thing happened. And then the scores did it. I mean, there's so many stories like that. It's awesome. Continue.
Tyler Dow, David Carr. Okay, Carr has to be the favorite there, but Dow looked amazing. Upper body, excellent. Trent Hydeley, Aaron Brooks, maybe the juiciest of them all.
Give it to me.
Make a prediction.
I'll take Hydeley.
It's one of those things, like, if Hydeley can bully him, I mean, if he's got a real physical, I don't know if he has a...
Brooks is solid. I don't know if he's getting bullied.
Yeah.
He's put together. Like, put together, like, and, like, they weren't sure if he would go 82.
I don't know, man.
I tell you what. Another thing, real quick. I can't believe there wasn't anybody that missed weight. They went day before weigh-ins. 2 pound allowance 2 days later, or 36 hours later. How did anybody miss
weight?
Are they
weighing in today?
I don't know.
I wonder who's the most overweight in Fargo right now.
There's so many jokes that I could make about certain people that aren't wrestlers right now. Who is the most overweight in Fargo?
Oh.
I could just rattle off fat people that are in Fargo right now. I won't do that. I'll save y'all.
Oh, I was talking. Yeah. I'm going to open that can of worms.
Uh-oh. Man, there are so many. Dang. As soon as Kai turns this off, we're just naming people.
Yep.
We're just naming.
Not naming. Yeah, there's a situation.
There. Okay.
Jack Jessen, Max Lyon.
Ooh, good one.
Lyon Tamer.
Another outgoing senior.
Jacob Warner versus Beat the Streets Phillies' own Miles Lee. Very cool. Zach Elam, Hayden Manley, and Anthony Cassiope versus Brandon Metz, who I think is from Fargo.
Yes, he is.
So, home.
Cassiope looked great. Cassiope wrestled the other Iowa recruit.
Costello.
Yeah. Put it to him. So that was a little sidebar, but... 2 o'clock, actually 11 o'clock, women's finals, 2 o'clock.
Junior freestyle.
Some call it that, the Catalina wine mixer of Fargo.
Play it out.
Play it out, Kai. Play it out. Okay, so let's get our list ready.
No, not yet. No
fat
list.
People
I'm not going to make. I'm not going to make a fat people at Fargo list.
As soon as this gets cut, I'm naming names.
If you were at Fargo, your name could be on the list.
All right. Put me down as one of them. That doesn't make the joke any... I'm still really excited about this list.
Okay. The 106, the 103 days are behind you.
Yeah, I'm okay with it. Short, fat, bald. It's like the Eminem, the 8 Mile thing.
Yeah.
I'll just tell you all the insults that you can give me, and I'm fine with that. But it's still, I'm going to have my fun as soon as it's cut off.
All right.
Cut it.
We're going to play this out. Thanks, guys. We'll see you next time. Maybe Thursday, maybe not. We'll let you know.
Children might be involved.
Later.
Project.